Shall we start?
We should.
Did Apple ever say anything about the Apple ID thing that happened?
Not yet. Not as of recording.
And that happened like last week, right?
So here's the problem with the Apple ID event that you were referring to. It's, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some Wikipedia page on some phenomenon that has a name that I can't remember. Is it the one where you're like someone mentions Volkswagen Beetle and you see them everywhere? What's that one?
Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
It's like Apple ID, your whole life, you've never heard of the Bader-Meinhof gang. The first time you hear Bader-Meinhof, then like you start hearing it everywhere, even that same day.
Yep. Weird Apple ID stuff happens to me all the time. Weird Apple ID stuff happened to me recently. And when there was a story,
cut this out if you need to. I mean, it's like an ongoing thing for you. Yes. Delicately.
Not really. It's not like an epidemic, but it happens enough that I know it.
I got the feeling you were like targeted at one point.
No, but here's the thing that I get. And okay. I maybe you've never gotten this. And if so, count yourself lucky. I get the thing that says, your Apple ID has been locked. Have you ever seen that one?
So just so you know, like I haven't been following this closely. I heard this happen last week. I listened to Upgrade and Mike talked about this, frankly, to me, very chilling experience he had with this particular Bader-Meinhof. And that's what he got is his watch said, enter your password. And then when he did, it said your account is locked and he had the device thing turned on. And apparently that's happened to like a lot of people that we know.
So that's been happening to me for years. Not frequently, really? but enough that I am familiar.
It says it's locked. So it thought something suspicious was happening.
It does not say anything about why. It just says your Apple ID is locked. Is it because someone was trying to log in too frequently? Is it because you had a bad password on some device that was doing it? Or is it just a phase
of the moon?
Or is it
like that crappy kind of credit card fraud detection thing where it's like just something like anomalous happened and our algorithm detected something. Like, I bet it looks for two unusual things.
But the thing is, it doesn't say that at all. It doesn't give any reason. So we're just guessing because we're like, well, surely there has to be a reason. And I can think of a bunch of reasons that are plausible, but the plain fact is it doesn't tell you anything about any kind of reason. It just says your Apple ID has been locked.
Unique in the world of Apple, but in this case, it's a very panicky thing to know nothing about.
Yeah. So this past week, there was stories in the Apple press of like, oh, there's something wrong with the Apple ID system. People are getting locked out of their accounts and so on and so forth. Now, was there a burst in activity of these things? Or is it just one of those things where like, hey, this happens at a low level, a low average level for years, but there's like this little snowball phenomenon where enough people mention it to enough people who run websites that like, you know what I mean? Like maybe there was no event.
Almost a little bit law of large numbers where there's enough people that this would affect that it seems like a bubble amongst people you know, the cognitive bias there would be like, it's happening a lot because it's happening to people I know.
Yeah, because it happens to people who know people who run websites that post stories about things happening to Apple. So I don't know. Because
it can
happen
to James Thompson. It can happen to anybody. So I'm just
right. Well, so here's the thing for my tips for people who this happened to, because when it does happen to you, you will be led down a path that will make you think you have to reset your password, but almost always you do not. And there's no way for you to know that except for experience. I have to have that experience. And the experience is, hey, it will prompt you and demand that you enter a new password, but there are ways to not do that and still unlock your Apple ID. And the reason I have all sorts of reckons about why does this happen to me? I'm like, well, I have multiple Apple IDs. I have my like real Apple ID where I buy all my movies in iTunes. I have my developer Apple ID. I have testing Apple IDs, and I'm often logged into the same ones in the same account, right? Because I'll be logged into the Apple developer site with my developer Apple ID, and then I'm logged into my actual like iTunes, whatever thing, with my personal Apple ID at the same time. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's angry about that. But again, I'm just guessing because it never tells me, hey, we locked your account because you logged into too many things or whatever. So, you know, this is one of those great things where it's like, did anything happen? If something did happen, what was it? All we know is that people are able to report being annoyed. But I do wonder if you surveyed 100% of Mac users at any random point in the past 5 years, if you wouldn't get the exact same number of reports.
Right.
So nothing happened to you?
Yeah, maybe. I did have, I'm sorry. Everything I know about this comes from struggling to take a nap this afternoon. And sometimes when I struggle to take a nap, I'm listening to the latest Upgrade. Upgrade. Yeah, which is nothing to say against them. I love that show. I listen every week. It's just sometimes that's my afternoon show. And Mike's experience of this, to make a long story short, was I couldn't even tell what country he was in, but he's visiting with Underscore and was planning to do some hiking. And so anyway, he wakes up at 6:15. His phone is over on the other side of the room. These facts become important. His phone's on the other side of the room because there's no outlet by the bed. And so he wakes up early and he gets this notification on his watch that says, I think he says, and we'll put a link in show notes so you can hear this. I think what it said was re-enter your password for your Apple ID, which, you know, I've gotten sometimes. Again, I don't know what causes that, but yeah, I've gotten that. It's just that then when he has the device lock dingus on, and so long story short, he can't do it on his phone. His phone says now your Apple ID is locked. You've got to go change your password. Is that what you have gotten in the past?
Yeah,
just to be clear, not that you changed it, but is it fair to say that that's probably the same alert you got, which is your Apple ID is locked. You need to go to the Apple ID site and change your password. Yes.
It just says your Apple ID is locked and the button says unlock. And you're like, oh, I totally want to unlock it. And you click the unlock button. And depending on what device you're on when you click the unlock thing, and what if you're using a web browser, if you're looking at it in system settings, if you're doing it on your phone, if you're doing it on your iPad, you are led down a different path in each case. In most cases, they will ask you to enter a bunch of stuff like your password, get a text message, do a two-factor thing. Like it'll lead you to a bunch of stuff to prove that you are you. A lot of those paths land you on a screen that says, now please change your password. But by that point, you've usually already gotten close to unlocking or you can decline to change it.
And I want to put a pin in that because there are consequences, perhaps foreseeable, but very real consequences to changing your password that I personally hadn't known about. So let's come back to that, but go ahead.
Yeah, and like you can avoid changing your password if you're stubborn enough about it in most cases and still get your Apple ID.
In the sense that it just kind of settles on its own?
Yeah, because you're basically doing a bunch of stuff to prove that you're you, and you will eventually make it to a screen that says, okay, now click here to unlock. And you can make it to that screen without changing your password very often. I mean, I think I got it locked like 3 times in the past week, kind of around the time these stories went out. So again, Bader Meinhof, like, oh, I must have been part of that thing. But was I? Because this has happened to me so many times before. So anyway.
And to the corollary, Mike was in wherever he is, wherever the Lake District is.
Right. He's in a different place. Yeah.
Yeah. So he wakes up. He has not looked at the news, has not looked at anything. And like all of us, you're like, oh my God, you know, I'm in trouble. Something's wrong with me.
The Apple ID system is weirded out that he's in a totally different place.
Yeah, but like, that's not my reaction, bud. My reaction is something catastrophic is happening. In the absence of knowing it was happening to other people he knew, you know, you kind of treat it as like, oh, this is my problem.
Yeah, well, especially like the first or second time it happens, it seems like it's significant. The 50th time it happens, it seems a lot less scary.
That's reassuring.
Unless people are constantly trying to break into my Apple IDs, who knows? But all I know is that it's just mostly a nuisance for me. And I'm very upset about changing the password, mostly because I'm always afraid that like whatever auto-generated password it entered is not going to end up in my keychain. And now I'm like really locked out because now I don't have the password that I just changed it to. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I ran into this. I mean, I don't want to talk too much about this stuff because it's a little bit OPSEC, but my passwords are pretty good for stuff. And what I did this last round involved generating a UUID and then adding some characters to it, and which seems pretty secure, but it didn't like my password a couple, 3 times when I first started doing that on the 2 Apple IDs that I use. And there have been times where, and again, something so frustrating on iOS to me is that I use a password manager. Like even if I were using Keychain, like it really wants you to type it in. And you get that non-dismissible, you know, dialog box to enter the password. There's nothing, you know, prompting you with the password tab at the bottom, which is, I think, that's the kind of thing that's bad culture to me. Like that creates that weird thing where people have dumb passwords. But I've had that. But here's what I didn't know. One thing I didn't know is that when Mike did change his password, which is exactly what I would have done. I mean, I'm glad to have your advice on that. Maybe wait it out. But like, you get, you know, this is the same reason in pen testing. This is why you call the CEO and tell him a bunch of stuff that you know about him and get him to change. You know what I mean? There's that kind of stuff where you're like, ah, I'm panicky. I want to fix this. But one thing it does that really sucks and points out a weakness in Apple is it just obliterates all your app-specific passwords, which already feels like such an archaic system. But Fantastical, Spark, like whatever you use, if you're using, you know, Calendar, mail, etc., in an app that's not an Apple app, you need to go generate an app-specific password, which sucks, but those are gone.
Is that a bug or a feature? I don't even know.
I mean, I think there was a time this is along the lines of like probably our oldest standing topic we haven't discussed, bank, you know, bank and credit card security theater, to which this is adjacent, I think. Yeah, I don't know. But that completely sucks. But here's what happened to me that's weird. So I'd heard something about this, I guess, over the weekend. And my laptop was open yesterday. I was doing stuff. Maybe I came home from the office and I had something on. When I, you know, unlocked my MacBook, I saw something you don't like to see, which is a butt ton of pop-ups. Like along the lines of, you know the feeling when you first set up a Mac and you get all the blah, blah, Windows type stuff of like, is that okay? And is this okay? I had this like cascade starting from the center of the screen, going almost all the way down to the lower right of the screen. There were probably 20, like, you know, dialog boxes. And I could see dialog boxes behind that. And what they all seemed to have in common was, you know, because they're all different, they're different apps. But, you know, thus and such thing isn't working because of this iCloud problem, which I've never gotten that particular problem before, where it's throwing me a bunch of errors about something related to, you know, iCloud. Because ordinarily, if you don't have internet connection, like, you don't get that. It was really weird. And I do wonder, I know that's not what other people got, but I wonder if that's a little squelched belch related to what happened to other people.
That's the Bader-Meinhof problem here. Any problem you have during the time when this story is in the news, you're going to be like, was that a side effect of this thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas yeah, if that story wasn't in the news, you'd be like, oh, my computer did a weird thing.
Well, and it doesn't help that I'm already not... Status pages are such a good idea, but most companies just don't use them in a way that would be in any way useful to a consumer-facing, like, you know, to a person, right? And in this case, Apple's are pretty bad. Like, there's stuff where, like, dude, I know this is down. Like, this is Downy McDown, and it's still got a green light on here. And evidently, I guess it never showed up as an incident. And so that seems to support your theory, your Bader-Meinhof theory.
No, it doesn't support anything because that page is hooked up to nothing, as you noted.
Well, yeah, it's like we'll go start a new Tumblr, and the kid will go and say, oh, this, you know, I was about to make fun of Descript. They're actually pretty good about that. Like I subscribe to Descript's, you know, incident feed. What would you call that? Status. Changes?
Status.
Yeah,
status,
which in this case is kind of like a smoke alarm where if it's working, I don't hear anything. And when something's not working, but to Descript's credit, you get a, like in my RSS, I get a very specific, there is a problem with transcription. It started at this time. We're working on it. And that's for my podcast editing app. And I don't want to go off on a whole thing here, but Apple IDs are a big deal. It's like, it's already weird to me that you're supposed to use an email address. Except in your case, because you're old school, but like you're supposed to use an email.
No, not my. I was forced to change to email.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, all Apple developers had to change.
But like, that's weird because you're already. I know that's not the key per se, but like you're already giving like your information is already kind of right there. That's not the first half, but that's certainly a portion of it. You know what I'm saying? Like an email address that you would give to people. That's how you log into things. I already think that's kind of weird personally. I mean, I use 1Password to make up names as well as passwords. Like on a lot of sites, I just have it generate 2 nouns, you know, and use that as the username. Like, I don't even want people to know that. Like, maybe that's weird. But it's really frustrating because Apple ID is a big deal. Like, it's hooked up to a lot of stuff. In the best of cases, it's going to be a terrible inconvenience. Let's just say for the sake of argument, something did happen at whatever point. And let's just say all the stuff related to your Apple ID is, for lack of a better word, frozen, where you can't fix it. You don't know what it is, da 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 da. It doesn't take you very long to see, like, that's going to affect a lot of stuff. Apparently, Adina, Mike's lady friend, had said, yeah, the Apple TV's been freaking out. I guess that's what it is. So, you know, again, another corollary to the Bader-Meinhof is like, oh, in retrospect, I guess that explains, like, that's why I'm saying, I guess that explains what happened on my laptop. But even if something didn't happen, I don't know, what would rise to a level to you? What would rise to a level of them having a remark about this and maybe including it in their status log as a historical event?
Yeah, well, I was saying, like in my last job, we also had a public-facing status page, and I can tell you that page was updated manually after very high-level discussions with, like, senior leadership.
Because it looked bad to have it up?
Because it's a political act. Like, it's updating that page
is not... It's an admission of, if not failure, it's an admission of... an exception to the five nines that we claim to deliver all the time.
Yeah, it's like what raises, because it's not so granular at the level that it's not, developers aren't looking at it. You know what I mean? Like it's not, developers have their own real things that are actually connected to stuff that they're looking at, right? The question is, when does something raise to the level where it needs to be seen by customers?
Right.
And that is a human decision, not a automated decision.
Do you think it's an ad hoc decision or do you think it's a strict policy decision? Like, is there something that I'll just change that from a question to a comment. I'll bet that is very much a wetware decision by somebody.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a decision that you can't make as like a rank and file employee. Like higher up people have to make that call,
right,
and put it in the thing. So I would imagine it's similar at Apple and that page is manually updated, not automatically connected, because as you noted, we've all seen instances where things are super hard down and showing green on the status page.
Yes.
But as I said, it's impossible for me to judge whether something actually happened or whether there was just a tiny little swarm of the right people having problems at the right time to make this a story when actually the average level of Apple ID screwiness was exactly the same yesterday as it was 2 years
ago. Neither of which, you know, feels like, particularly great.
Yeah, I know. Well,
you know,
I mean, yeah. Again, it's not my first time my Apple ID has been locked. It's been happening for years and years.
Don't you take it though that's not good?
Yeah, no, that's not good at all. But here's the thing: that happened to me before I saw this story, so I thought nothing of it. I had the test. The test was, hey, did you think there was something wrong? I did not. I'm like, oh, here we go again. And then only later that day that I read the story, I'm like, huh. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't just me this time. Maybe it was other people. But then I saw the status page hadn't been updated, and I don't know. Hey, who knows?
Yeah. So
anyway, yeah, Apple ID system. It's not great.
It would be, I mean, given the way that they've built a brand around, you know, privacy and security, very like assertively saying that part of what we do for you is protect you from the bad guys. You know, I just feel like in the interest of that brand, a word I don't like to use too often, but that is their brand. That's the brand they want is, all of our cocky mimi decisions completely make sense because security. That's one problem in Europe, amongst others. But that's the public facing thing with Apple, is that they're all about privacy and security. Well, given that, I mean, it would be nice for them to be a little bit more forthcoming and say, hey, people in New Jersey might have had this problem in this time, you know, or whatever, you know, that kind of thing with some specificity. And if they wanted to explain what it was that happened, that would be nice too. Do you think it's an ongoing incident, or do you think it's an ongoing incident, or do you think it's nothing at all?
I mean, I kind of feel like anytime something weird happens with Apple ID stuff, there's something going wrong behind the scenes. But I think so many things go wrong behind the scenes so frequently that it's hard to know when it should raise the level of a thing that you should say publicly.
Yeah.
Because these things are complicated systems and outages can be localized. And, you know, I'm sure there are teams of people who all day, every day are putting out fires, hopefully that no customers ever notice. But with so many like billions of customers,
yeah,
you know, 0.01% have a problem and it's still a huge
talk number. Talk about law of large numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. This episode of Reconcilable Differences is brought to you by Squarespace. You can learn more about Squarespace right now by visiting squarespace.com/diffs. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and to succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, you can stand out with a beautiful website. You can engage with your audience and sell anything, your products, your services, and perhaps even the content that you create. Squarespace has got everything you need all in one place and all on your terms. Their Blueprint AI and SEO tools make it so easy to get started. You can start a completely personalized website with their new guided design system, which is called Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. And then you can easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools, so you show up more often to more people and you grow in the way that you want. You can also integrate flexible payments. You can make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, you can offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. You can hit the ground running with their Fluid Engine. That's their next generation website editor, where it's never been easier for anyone to unlock their creativity. You choose your website starting point and you customize every design detail with reimagined drag and drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine. It's included in any new Squarespace site. For what it's worth, I've used Squarespace for years, and I feel very good about recommending them. It's a great service, and boy, if you don't want to spend a ton of time having to make a website, Squarespace is really a godsend. What I'd love for you to do right now is to head to squarespace.com/diffs, and you sign up for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, you go to that very special URL, squarespace.com/diffs, that's D-I-F-F-S. That'll save you 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. One more time, squarespace.com/diffs. When you decide to sign up, 10% off your first purchase, and it shows your support for Reconcilable Differences. Our thanks to Squarespace for supporting Reconcilable Differences and all of Relay FM. I believe that we have some follow-up.
We do. This is one brief additional thing about the Waffle House magic marker system. Someone sent me this link to a TikTok that it contained what I think is a totally BS rationalization of the marker system. And it describes the system, and the person saying, oh, I work at Waffle House, it's actually not as bad as you think. And one of the reasons they give why the system works is they say, look, this system, you know, the reason we don't use computers or screens or anything like that is because Waffle House is a really important institution that's open during hurricanes, and sometimes there's power outages, but we're open 24/7. Like you were saying before, it's like the Waffle House index. If Waffle House closes, you better be out of there.
That really feels like a non sequitur.
Right.
Doesn't it? So I mean, doesn't that seem like an extreme non sequitur?
Yeah, and therefore, we need a system for keeping track of what people ordered not require computers, because we're open 24/7. And what if the power goes out? That's why we use gas for all our grills. We don't have electric grills. Our grills are gas. So even when there's a power outage, we'll still be able to stay open 24/7. And I have to think, I guess you all have night vision then? Because if you have no power and it's night, I don't care if the gas grill works. You're not going to be able to see what you're doing.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. So we'll put a link to Jones on TikTok so you can judge for yourself. I think this is the most ridiculous rationalization for using jelly packets.
Yeah, and you said, what was the phrase you used? Post hoc, you know? Post hoc ergo proc. You know, it's like this
Didn't even think it through. It's like, we can operate without electricity. Can you? I don't think you can, because you can't see in the dark. Let's see. Oh, it looks like an item that you put in here.
It did.
Asking for clarification for what I call it when I watch like a television show or something, to see if other people in my family might like it.
Yeah, and what I said last time was, this is on my, I do have a list, believe it or not, of things that need a name. And I said on the spot that that needs a name. And I thought that you quickly said, almost under your breath, ambassador. But then you said that's not, I see you said so close.
I've said this term many times on the show, and you're close. It's clear that you heard me. It's in there somewhere.
Well, thank you.
Starts with the letter A.
Emissary.
No. You got to listen to my description of it. It's when I watch something to see if other people in my family might like it.
Let's see. It's like you're like an explorer.
Starts with A.
And aluminium.
Yeah, that's right. Aluminium. No. What I'm doing is that I'm auditioning the show.
Oh, you're auditioning. You're the producer.
I'm auditioning the show. I audition many shows. I audition. I say, hey, I'm going to watch this, and I'm going to say, is this a show my wife would like? Is this a show my daughter would like? Is this a show my son would like? Does this show have dogs in it so my dog will like it?
Yes.
I'm auditioning the show. I audition.
See,
you're
in a unique position. You stand astride. You're like a Wallace Stevens poem. You've got one foot over here in the world of being aware of things that might be good, and then over here you have the special expertise. Of course, this also reminds me of the time when I would watch a movie to say, like, is there anything in this that's going to completely freak my kid out?
Exactly. You know?
That's a form of auditioning too, right?
It's 100% auditioning thing for kids. Very common.
Yeah. Auditioning. Okay. I regret the error.
All right. It was an A. And final item, I'm just checking in on Secret of Nim. Did you watch it or no?
Did we talk about in the main show last time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I was giving you guff about all those terrible 80s movies with puppets.
No, it was because I quoted a line from it, and you hadn't seen the movie, and I was
shocked. The mice had seen the newspaper, and the words were sensible.
Yep. Right. I'm assuming you didn't watch it.
You're assuming I didn't watch it.
That's right. 82 minutes, Marlon. It's an 82-minute movie.
What? Why would why would that have an effect?
You could watch it. You wouldn't even.
Why would I watch The Secret of Nim?
Slip on the remote and watch the movie.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I could do stuff like obviously Waffle House, 24 minutes. But what is it about the runtime that makes movie something I'd want to watch?
It's pretty good.
It's Don Bluth, right?
Yeah,
Bluth. It's on my Plex, and I might watch it. You think it's a good movie? You think as a however old I am,
I feel like
now?
It's something you need to see culturally.
Oh, you're saying it's like not reading like The Odyssey or something.
Yeah, but for my generation, which is a few years before yours, it is in the pantheon of weird movies that nerds watch.
Yeah, but you is it. Forgive me, counselor, but on Cross, if I could ask, but to you, that would also include things like the Jareth movie. And then is Jareth the one with Jennifer Connelly? Is that the Rocketeer?
Which Labyrinth, one's, yes. That would
that's
include
the Labyrinth. And then what's the puppet one? Is that Dark Crystal?
Dark Crystal, yeah.
And are those both Jim Henson puppet movies?
Yes.
Okay. And would you include this in that?
Yes.
What about Tron?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not a big fan of it, but yeah.
Give me three more. Because I know you've got them. Like, so what we're talking about here is for somebody of John's age.
Generation and inclination.
Generation, inclination. And there are certain things and like Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yep,
not really.
One.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I was saying to Alex today, I think I've got that movie practically memorized.
Yeah, Monty Python for sure. Maybe Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, interesting. Flight of the Navigator. Okay.
Like they're basically like movies that were of particular interest to nerdy, precocious.
What about
young
Sneakers?
That's
later?
A little bit after my time.
All right.
But yeah.
I still really like that movie.
No, it's good. It's really good.
But considered cool to like that movie, but I actually really do like it a lot.
Okay, when I was a young child and there wasn't as much media for nerds, when any of it appeared, you would jump on it. So the Flight of the Navigator is not actually a very good movie. But
I was like that with anything related to D&D. Look, yeah. I came to D&D more from the sort of like Knights in Shining Armor than from the Lord of the Rings stuff. Like I was not into the magic and clerics and all that crap. I just liked the guys with swords stuff. But that's where I became more aware of stuff like Tolkien. Like I've told you, my best friend when I was a kid loved Tolkien and read all of them. But like I was like, those books, that's like Shogun length. I'm not going to get into it. That's too big. But yeah, I think I know what you mean. Short Circuit? No, that's common.
No. Take an example, speaking of Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings animated movies and the Hobbit animated movies. Yeah, I would put them in this category too.
Those are beautiful. Yeah. Well, what about, did you ever see Excalibur?
I did. I would add that to the list. Yeah. Dragon Slayer is on your homework list, on my homework list, actually.
Dragon Slayer, okay, all right.
Which I've seen many, many times, and I think would be fun for you to watch, but it's very much in the Excalibur vein.
Oh, man, I loved Excalibur. I think you could do a limited, what do they call it on Netflix, a limited series. I think you could do a podcast on these terrible movies that you like, and I think people would really enjoy it.
They're not terrible.
A lot of them are terrible. The puppet ones are not good. I love Jennifer Connelly. She's terrific.
Labyrinth is pretty good.
Did you like The Rocketeer?
Yeah, not as much as Dan Morin, though.
Yeah, you know, you should rope Dan in on these, because I know Dan, I feel like I know Dan likes Sneakers in particular. Now, what about Hackers with Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller? Did you like
it? No, by that point, we were just watching that to make fun of it.
The crack the encryption, you know?
Yeah.
What about Johnny Mnemonic? Jersey Johnny Mnemonic?
No, they got the
do you
dolphin.
Do you know what happens in Johnny Mnemonic? I think it's technically a William Gibson thing.
Yeah, there's a dolphin.
Well, I think there's one or maybe two dolphins, but, and there's, that girl from the movie, Denise somebody, who's supposed to be some kind of like real high-end scientist. And
Denise Villeneuve.
Denise Villeneuve. No, Denise.
I'm trying to do the Dan Rather. I can't do it.
Oh, sorry. Are you talking about Elliot? You're going to see the movie. Don't. Boy, it doesn't take a lot to provoke him into doing that, does it? That last episode was great, wasn't it?
I haven't heard it. Don't run it.
Hey, everybody, you should check out the Flophouse. I don't think they show us the respect that we deserve, but we do stan the Flophouse. John is the original fan. He liked it even before Jason Snell.
Dan's brother is the original fan.
Yeah, but you work with Dan's brother, and you say they're virtually identical.
I took some convincing.
Yeah. Dan, I don't talk to Dan as much as I'd like. I can't decide. I hope he likes me. I don't think he listens to the show anymore, and that upsets me. But that's fine. They talk about the movie Argyle, which is available on Apple TV TV. And
which they always call Apple Plus. I love it. I think I said a correction once. One correction is all they get, but they're just forever. They're calling it Apple Plus.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I kind of get it.
Yeah, I get it too. Like, it's hard to remember Apple TV Plus, but like you would think eventually, like, especially as time goes on, you know, if you look for a thing called Apple Plus, like in your UI, you won't see that text anywhere. So eventually you'd figure out, I guess,
yeah,
not called Apple Plus.
I was watching, I have a grave confession to make. I've been kind of following the trial of the former president, and I've been watching.
All right. Okay.
Okay. That's something I do sometimes. And I've been watching some cable news.
You just like the sketches. I know.
No, I read it for the stereo reviews.
Yeah, I'm reading it for the pictures.
They got a whole new thing on the new Fisher stereo. Anyway, speaking of Playboy Playmates of the Year, 1998, this trial, and because, you know, I try to grow as a person. Like, nobody seems to understand this, but I'm always trying to grow as a person, and I'm not always living up to anybody's standards, including my own. But I do try. But as I've you can't talk about this without getting into a whole thing with people. But I really enjoy seeing Donald Trump being unhappy. It's a form of self-soothing for me to know how on, and I don't wish ill on anybody, John. You know me, right? You know I'm not out there going like,
I feel like wanting to see somebody unhappy is wishing ill on them.
Well, I mean, but I don't do it a lot. I used to be worse. I used to be such a, the songs I wrote, the things I did, the things I...
You're not causing it to happen. It is happening with or without you. You're just enjoying the fact.
Oh, I open it up in Readwise and I'm just highlighting and sending it to Madeline. I'm like, look at this. He's so sad about how cold, he's so mad about how cold the room is.
But then he falls asleep, and I bet he's happy.
He falls asleep, and then, like, and on top of it all, he's so excited because he gets his weekend off, and he's going to go have a rally, and then it was canceled because of weather. So I watched that, and, you know, here's one thing I realized. This is what I'm getting at, is that I don't understand why they changed the name of Twitter to X, apart from the fact that the guy who owns Twitter is obsessed with that letter and trying to make X happen. But it's so wild to me. Like, of course, there's that thing people do where they go, and I talked about on X, formerly known as Twitter. But like, even when you're talking about when Donald Trump, I'm sorry to say his name, I know it upsets people. But even when he posts one of his things on his own site, people call it a tweet. Mm-hmm. Because, well, first of all, go look at the graphs on this, the number of people that are on that site. It's pathetic. And maybe kind of apropos of a topic this week, I don't know, but just the raw, like, tiny, like, over half an order of magnitude, maybe order of magnitude difference in engagement or exposure that he gets on that site, and nobody's going to call what he just posted a truth. It was funny when Lonely Sandwich called tweets toots, and then we would say toot, and then people would get mad and they say it's tweet. I say, yeah, but Adam, Lonely Sandwich, he calls it a toot, and I think that's funny. He says it because it sounds like a fart, which is kind of what you do on Twitter, which I miss, again, apropos of our topic. But it's like, oh, you throw away so much brand equity. It would be like Google saying, no, now we're Alphabet. Please stop calling, looking for things on the internet, Googling. It's mm-hmm. I know we've been through this, but what was that? At least 6 months ago, right? And it's so funny to watch people, like people who are very, as they say, very online, who still call it Twitter, still call it a tweet. It's really wild. But I like watching him be unhappy. And that's when I had proximity to hearing a lot of people talk about tweets and Twitter, formerly known, now known as X. What a terrible name for a site.
It's terrible. That's part of the reason people
Do you think it's terrible? I feel like it's actually really bad.
Yeah. If the site had changed in some way that was interesting or good, and if he had rebranded it and then established that brand with something new and different, then maybe it would have had a fighting chance, but instead he didn't. So it's a bad name, and there is nothing new or different or better about it to stick in people's mind. And so it's just Twitter, but now really badly run.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say was talking about, never mind, it doesn't matter, but the Apple ID thing. I was at a store in Hawaii while my family was there, and I did my watch and to pay for something, and it didn't work. So I ran my card and it didn't work. I pulled out another card. It didn't work. I pulled out a third card. It didn't work. Now, everybody else in this, if you like, if you care, if you care, Safeway, were merrily buying things. And I go into complete panic mode because there's a first, of course, there's a part of me that's like, oh, this is some fraud thing where it's like, why are you in a different place? Right. But like, why would three not work? And then what's crazy is for the rest of the trip, that original card worked fine on all but like two or three occasions when it just didn't work. And forgive my sounding needy about this, but there was money available. But it's just that kind of thing. That's why the Apple ID thing is such a big deal to me. I know this, I'm coming at this sort of late here, but like, it matters when that stuff works or doesn't work. And believe me, you really want to know. And then, you know, fortunately, my dumb bank did then send me the like, hey, did you just do a transaction for blah? And of course, I'm supposed to say yes. But what I feel like I should say is, no, I attempted to do, I attempted to do that. And that happened three times while we were there. That's how I get about that panicky when Apple ID stuff happens.
Yeah, the consequences of your Apple ID being hosed are much worse than your credit card being hosed, though, because they'll send you another card. But if your Apple ID is locked and you can't get in and they don't believe it's you, then that's bad.
Yeah, like second worst after your Gmail being compromised. Well, anyway, tech's a real mess right now, if you ask me. Hey, everybody, welcome to Reconcilable Differences. It's a podcast that we do, and we do it here every couple weeks, and you can help support the show by giving us money. You could go to, on your internet home computer set, you go to relay.fm/RD, that gets you the Reconcilable Differences area, and then you add another slash, and you say join, and that's where you can go in, and if you like, I would ask you kindly to please consider giving us money because it helps us make a living doing this. And you can do that. And you get stuff from that. You get ad-free episodes. you get wallpaper. But you also get bonus content because people love content. And this is one of those weeks where we do a little bit of extra content. And I think we know what we're going to talk about in the member episode. John, would you please tell our listeners?
We're going to talk about the television program Shogun, which Millen and I have both watched. That we will tell you when we're about to spoil it, but we will be spoiling it after the spoiler horn in the after show, the members only after show in this very episode.
Yeah, I will just say to folks who are not or will never be members that Shogun gets my official okie dokie, and you can watch it on
Hulu.
Yeah, if it's an FX show, and you can tell because FX always runs their credit twice.
They have two logos. Yeah.
Madeline still doesn't get this joke, which is very weird to me. This I think started when my kid and I were binging Sunny, watching a lot of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and you get the bong bong, like the, you know, the thing, and then you get the little tags about what to warn you about. And it goes dong dong again, and we both go, huh? I think FX made this. Why do they do that twice, John?
I don't know. They're just so proud of the two slightly different looking FX logos.
Yes. Yeah. John Landgraf, he's the one that pulls the levers up there. Anyway, yeah. So we'll talk about that. And thank you to everybody who's already a supporting member of the show. We greatly appreciate it. I no longer mince words about this. It means a lot to me that y'all do that. And I could really use the money. John won't say it, but he could probably use the money too. He just sold a bunch of stuff on his ATP store. And you guys are all out of glasses now. Is that right?
That's right. Exciting.
It started out as me making my kid use that glass, and then eventually the kid liked to use that glass, but then mom, out of effing nowhere, suddenly adopted the, what would you call it, a pint glass? And then, so I bought another. So I guess I got in under the wire a month or two ago.
Yeah, we have to keep paying to keep that inventory now.
I might have been your last tumbler.
Yeah, we got a lot of those glasses. They're great.
They're great glasses. Oh yeah, okay. Did you want to hear my Apple success stories?
I do.
Does that interest you for real?
It does, because it's so rare. Normally, it's Apple failure stories that we share on this program.
Well,
that's your
and
Apple
I,
success
for,
story.
Okay, write it down. I think there's two things that I'm doing this week that are that thing you talked about. For one, I'm taking nouns and then adding a dash and the word facing. I think I've done that three times in this episode, right? And then, what was the other word? I definitely got, what do you have, you picked up any for this episode? What are my words for this episode? Words or phrases?
Oh, that you're going to say and then repeat later? I don't think you've done any yet.
Well, keep an eye on it because I think I got some coming.
Okay.
But Law of, oh, you know what? That, I'm sorry. Yes. Law of large numbers. I think I've said that two or three times.
I mean, you've been saying that for years. So.
Yeah. I stole it from CGP Grey, like so many things. Now, yeah,
you know, I think both of you are getting the definition slightly wrong. That's fine.
Well, that's seems about right for you. Two is one, one is none. Three is two, two is one, one is none. He didn't invent that, did he? That's a very valuable piece of information right there. A thought technology, if you like. But I say law of large numbers because, you know what? That's all I use is Apple stuff. I mean, I have a bamboo printer. I got an LG TV. I've got, you know, an Eero thing. But I'm in the bag for Apple stuff. I use Apple stuff. And that also makes me a pretty insufferable critic of the stuff that doesn't work that I use a lot. If I were a carpenter, I would not tolerate a hammer that stopped working for a weekend and required me to buy another hammer. Bad analogy. But I wanted to share two success stories just real quick of things. One is, so am I using the right word, app clips?
It's a thing where you're at the gas station and they have a little thing for you to boop your phone against.
Yeah, tell our listeners and me, because I remember first hearing about this and I wanted to quote unquote try it, but I wasn't ever in a situation where I could try it. It's like, you know, Bluetooth beacons, that kind of thing where you're like, oh, I wonder what this is like in practice. What is an app clip and how is it valuable to the user?
Yeah, so here's the pitch for app clips. Lots of things in the modern world that you have to do, that you can do with your smartphone, often require an app. Oh, so you want to park at this parking meter? Well, first go to the app store and download the whatever parking app. Oh, you want to pay at this gas station? Download the Shell app and so on and so forth, right? And so app clips is trying to solve that problem by saying, I think it's NFC based, but there's some little thing that you boop your phone against, you just press your phone against it. And rather than downloading the full app, my recollection is that it will automatically download some little tiny portion of the app
you actually need. And when it comes to something like a parking app, like how much more do you need?
Right. Just it'll like download. It's not installing the app on your phone. It's downloading like a little miniature version of the app, just enough so you can pay for the stupid parking meter, but not to the point where you're committing to having like a new icon on your home screen back in the days when we couldn't hide things on the home screens. That's my understanding of app clips. And I say it's my understanding because though I've seen many app clips in my life, my local gas station has one. I have never used them.
That was, for my purposes, pretty much flawless. I'm taking my watch off because it is driving me bananas. It will not honor my DND. That was actually perfect. Thank you. And it was exactly aligned with my experience, except that I don't really go anywhere. So I've rarely seen them. Now, I've just sent you a photograph of a place that precisely we wanted to park. And I just wanted to say, because you know me, like I'm always like, hey, I want to, you know, rent a car with CarPlay and let's do this. And like, I don't know. I cop this off Jason Snell a little bit, but you know, everything is copy. Like all the stuff that I do, it's hard to describe what it is that I do for a job. I mean, I know when I feel like it's part of what I do. I mean, it doesn't matter that you know this necessarily, but I like to try things in different circumstances and see how things work. And I'm the kind of person, my kid and I, we used to wander around hotels, you know, when my kid was little and like we tried doorknobs and see, we pen test the hotel title and that sort of thing. So we're fixing to park. And I just want to be clear, you know, I love my wife, right?
I do know that.
My wife has no compunction about putting her credit card into practically anything. And it makes me bananas. I know I'm weird about this, and I'm okay with that. I don't like running my credit card at a gas pump. It's a famous way to, there's all kinds of ways that thing can go south before you even get to skimmers. And skimmers are definitely a thing. But also gas stations are a lot of like what triggers fraud. A bunch of times I've gotten fraud triggers. It's from something related to transit. It's really weird. I don't know why, but I hate putting my credit card in things. I don't know why. It just bothers me. It feels unhygienic to me. Think about all those other cards that have been in there. People might have licked those. And then now yours is licked by proxy.
So, the thing is, like I said, of all the things to get compromised or stolen or whatever, your credit card is like...
But that doesn't change the fact that I prefer, if I'm on vacation and using that for money, I would just as soon not have it compromised.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously you want nothing bad to happen, but if I had to pick something bad to happen, I would pick...
I could see you picking something bad to happen. That seems like something you would do. That's an area of control.
It's the least bad because credit cards have been around for so long and have so much consumer protection.
Oh my God, that is such an inhuman way. No human being looks at that particular way. That's like saying you're lucky you didn't get pancreatic cancer. You only got renal cancer.
Kind of. Kind of.
It is kind of like that.
Well, you have to pay with something, right? And so, like, well, what can go wrong? If I pay with cash and my cash gets stolen, I'm SOL. If I try to pay with my Apple ID and my Apple ID gets compromised, I'm SOL. If I try to pay with my credit card is compromised, not really SOL because I'm going to get that money back and I'm going to get a new card.
Right. Yeah. No, I know. That's what made my friend Pete, who got me my .com job, really smart guy, used to work for the state of Florida, did web stuff. And like when he would do talks, there was a thing he would always say that really made sense to me, which is when we first had ATMs, when they first came along, people were like, there's no way I'm going to let a 4-digit code, you know, be all this between me and my life savings or whatever. You know, just the histrionics of late 70s ATM reactions into the 80s, pretty wild. But two things, well, one particular thing made that possible, which is what you're describing. Which I think in most instances, banks are like pretty cool about that. It's just...
Well, not on ATMs. I don't think they're cool about it. Credit cards, they are cool.
You know what I don't like putting my card into, buddy? ATMs. Hate it.
Yeah. ATMs have $200 limits or whatever, so they're not going to get your life savings.
No. It's just... Anyway, bad hygiene. Anyway, the point of the story is I said, hey, check it out. Look at that cool-ass QR code. I'm going to try this thing I've never tried before. And my only prologue for this, one of the reasons I said that you described app clips so well is I can't tell you how many times we've been in a situation where you need to pay. You know, parking lots are all different. In some, like, you pay for a little chit and like put that on your dashboard. You know, they're all different, but there are some where you have to go download their parking app and like you're in the middle of like bloody nowhere and like you can't go to the amusement park in Santa Cruz until you've, I remember in particular one time we went to Santa Cruz and it starts the fun off in the most annoying way to have to go get this janky app
and then create an account
and right and do you want notifications and like just all that nonsense.
You're like, I just want to pay for parking. That's what I want to do.
Well, and like I didn't want to interrupt you unnecessarily, but when you were describing this and why it's a problem, it goes for almost everything. Like I have an app that works with my Aero Garden, AERO Garden, which is an indoor hydroponic garden system, and like I wanted it to be great. Because I on purpose bought the nice one with Wi-Fi and stuff because I thought it'd be cool. You got to see the app for this thing. It's unbelievable. It works only in landscape mode. It's a horrible app. Just a terrible, terrible app. And so like the benefit of that Wi-Fi, I'm not really benefiting from that because I have to go to this little weird archipelago of their stupid app. And that goes for so many things. This goes all the way back to the Mac Classic days where if you wanted to buy this, I don't know, like a CD, like an optical drive to use with your Mac. Comes with a CD of these drivers you've got to install. And like, it's just always been the worst. Here's the thing. We want to go get some poke. My kid loves poke. We park the rental car because everybody's got a Jeep in Hawaii. So great. You get this Jeep. It's very rugged. You get a Jeep because people love to be rugged. And you know what they say? Just so you know, don't drive off-road. That's what they said. Which I thought was kind of funny because everybody in the island has a Jeep. This thing's got this gear shift with all these twos and fours and all these different things. And they're like, don't go off road with the Jeep. I'm like, well, okay, great. I wasn't gonna, but just kind of proves the fraud. So we see this giant ass sign that says pay at this sign, which I like. I think this is good signage. It says pay at this sign in big letters. I scan the QR code with my phone.
Did you scan the app clip code or the actual QR code? Because both are on this sign.
The app clip one.
Okay.
Because, of course, I'm excited. I want to get my kids some poke, but I'm also excited to use a thing I haven't used. And I don't have to put my credit card in something. And it worked flawlessly. The thing downloaded to my home screen. Click, go, boom, Apple Pay, done. I want to declare that my first, like, great success story. If that doesn't sound like a big deal to other people, that's okay. But for me, having never done this and not knowing even really, I kind of had an idea what to expect. I want to declare that a success.
And this obviously didn't have an NFC thing. Like I said, this is just like you take a picture with your phone. I do wonder if it can work through NFC, but maybe not.
I bet in two to five, I said this about self-driving cars too, 2 to 5 years, I bet we'll see more of that. But QR codes are so, I'm not happy about this, but I know it, which is that QR codes are something we just use now. And honestly, we don't have time this week to talk about my entire tech experience on vacation, but QR codes saved my bacon so many times trying to set up this janky ass TV in this Airbnb. Oh my goodness. It's so great to be able to just photograph the screen and I'm logged into YouTube. So I don't know. That's another thing, John. This is how weird I am. During the pandemic, all of a sudden, oh, we don't have menus. You got it. There's still places where there's like, scan the QR code to do your order. I don't like scanning QR codes. Should I worry about scanning QR codes? Am I being a weirdo? Because they track that, right? They're tracking stuff.
So the QR codes are very ubiquitous, but it's really just usually just a way to get a URL. But we tell people not to tap on URLs mindlessly as well. So I feel like QR codes are a bit of a obfuscation. Well,
it's a tiny little bit of a privacy vector, I think.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do though?
Yeah. So have you ever done this? You ever do an app clip? Not at all?
No, I've never done an app clip. And the reason I haven't is because like, although my gas station has the app clip little rings thing that you see that look like the maze from
Talking about the keychain thing?
No, the app clip thing. Like the little maze
we're seeing on pay at this sign.
Yeah. Right. That is on my pumps. It says Apple, app clip, blah, blah, blah. But there's also like a post-it note, like an index card that someone's clear taped onto it that says Apple Pay, pay here. Because it also has the, you know, double click the side button, regular plain old Apple Pay. And that's what I use because that's so much faster.
Oh, my goodness. Did we talk about the terminal at my hardware store? Did we talk about that, the keys on that? We talked about that here, right? I sent you that photo. My hardware store down the street. This is real quick, I hope. But this is just another one of those like, yeah, so why am I amazed that pay at this sign worked? Well, in the seemingly mature world of using a piece of plastic to cause money to be moved, that feels like a pretty mature process. Honestly, increasingly, things like NFC things, a la Apple Pay via your watch, like that seems like it's mostly pretty good. The terminal at my hardware store, I knew it was like the day after it had been installed. And I was like, oh, you got a new one, huh? And you got to turn the thing around and it's got the big sensor thing on top. And I dip, hit my watch and I do it and it's having trouble. It's like, okay, debit. And I'm like, yes, please, debit. He goes, and he turns it around and he goes, enter your code. And I sent you this photo, right?
Which photo?
Let me find it real quick. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, so I bought I was trying to buy $106 worth of stuff. Great Wall Hardware, by the way, people. I think it's Terraval and I think 28th. They are the best. And this is the screen for my, I'm sorry, it's blurry, but I was already seeming like a weirdo. I didn't have time to take a good photo.
Oh, so, yes, you did send me that. I confess, I had no idea why you were sending this to me the first time.
At first, right? But like, I don't know.
You had to point it out because who would ever occurred to me to look for what I'm supposed to see in this?
So what I see here is, boy, this is meant to be. And like, you know, once I put this on, you know, Mastodon, a lot of people have remarks about a lot of things. Like, did you notice, for example, John, like, what are we doing with that word cancel? Why is that hyphenated?
I think you mean can sell.
Can sell. Are you talking about it's like a sales technique?
Yeah, it's almost like it's on like a CRT where the amount 104.7 is cut off on the bottom, like it's a scan line, like it's like the beam hadn't drawn it all out yet.
Yeah, like ABC, always be can selling. And okay. Yeah. Anyway, the main feature of this though that's incredible is that you think about the keypad, like a keypad on the ATM, a keypad on a touch telephone. I mean, there's basically two ways you do that. There's like 0 and 1, 2, 3 at the bottom, you know, 1, 2, 3 at the top. But whatever. That's like, you know, that's pretty straightforward interface.
A 3x3 square plus one other number, usually in the lower left.
And so we ought to need to say more. This, but just to familiarize you with what you're already using, what you'll notice is often 0 is on its own line. They put usually have the controls, which are always confusing, you know, click cancel to continue or whatever, that kind of thing. But then the main part is like you're there to enter in your 4-digit PIN. And so you are presented with the 10 keys that enable you to do that. Just that in this instance, the keys are in what appears to be a completely random order.
Instead of it being 1, 2, 3, next four. Row, 4,
instead
five,
of going
six,
1, 2, 3, return, 4, 5, 6, return, 7, 8, 9, return, 0, right? In this case, it's 4, 8, 2, 3, 0, 9, 7, 6, 5, and then 1.
For security.
For security. And I said to the guy, and it doesn't particularly matter for the story. I love this guy. There's a fellow who works there who is, I think, beyond legally blind. Like, he has to, you know, hold things up really close to his eye to see the prices on stuff. He's a really cool guy, but I wouldn't mention it except that it matters here because it's his second day with this thing. It's rejecting my watch. He doesn't know how to do it. And then I'm like, wait a minute. And of course, there's somebody behind me. I'm like, I should just get out of here. But I'm like, wait a minute. The numbers on this, he's like, and he says, yeah, it's random. I was like, oh, but like, why are they're all in like a different order? He goes, yeah, it's random. And I go, oh, you know, maybe it's to avoid shoulder surfing. He's like, yeah, they're random. And it's like, maybe this comes up different for each new transaction randomly. And he goes, yeah, it's random.
Here's the worst thing about it. You know, a lot of people who only know their code by the shape.
Absolutely, I do. Oh, and go look at anybody's like security pad for their burglar alarm or whatever, and you'll see.
Right, see which numbers are worn off.
Yeah, there'll be dirt and a little like that ABS rundown thing that Daring Fireball was talking about. You know, like, but like you can see where there's dirt and a hole on those, the four, however many numbers your code is.
Yeah, so I bet some people can't use this pad because they're like, I only know it's like vertical line and then to the left, but I don't know what those numbers are because
I wasn't going to say this, but. Because I'm not trying to be an hero, but like, Jesus Christ, I can think of about five different very real disabilities that would make this harder to use than it needs to be. One of those disabilities is I'm Merlin Mann, and it's not like I have a pattern that I punch in, but I certainly do expect 5 and 6 to be adjacent. It's something I got used to with numbers. Doesn't it seem like it's a little bit of a accessibility thistle?
Yeah, and also the prevention of shoulder surfing. Like, if someone's shoulder surfing you, they can also see which numbers you're pressing. Maybe it makes that a little bit harder so they can't suss out the shape.
I
mean,
shoulder surfing is all I could come up with for why this is. Anyway, that's when the technology doesn't work so great. So, what was that related to? I don't remember.
Your Apple success story.
Apple success story number 2.
Oh, I guess the app clip was your success story.
That was my first one. Here's the real one. Well, this is the one I originally like arrived with. So we were in Hawaii. It wasn't my idea. And we're in Hawaii. We've arrived in Hawaii. And we go and we're gonna eat lunch and da-da-da-da. And then so basically we're going to drive from this airport to like where the place we're staying is. It's like a 30-minute drive. And I don't need to go into it unless we do an official vacation results. But I spent almost all the time in the room. Because as you'll learn, that's increasingly my idea of a vacation, is not doing things. But the point is that we had lunch, we go up there, and it is important that we went and had lunch. It's also important that we're at our hotel for 4 nights, you know, 30 minutes away. And I'm a hermit. I'm mostly there. I watched an entire season of Taskmaster in one day. It was great. And I'm hanging out, and I'm tidying. I'm playing with the cat. There's a cat there that I have a crush on. And everything's going fine. And for some reason, at one point, like on the penultimate day, I go, I'm looking for my AirPods Pro, the little white ones, the little chappies. And I can't find them anywhere. Because if on the occasion that I would like need headphones while I was there, I was using my AirPods Max, right? I open Find My. Because, and again, let's just say the obvious. Many kinds of Apple devices have the ability to let you know where they are. And that includes things like AirTags. Forgive me if I'm just treating you like an idiot listener, but I think a lot of people may not know. For example, there's actually 3 different trackers involved in your AirPods Max. John, I've talked about this. You've got the case that they live in, and then you've got a left and right AirPod. And each one of those, if you dropped one AirPod, it's conceivable that you could find that in your house, right? Oh, it's in the couch cushions. And you're able to use Find My to go and locate those things. Like, people know this, right?
I would hope so.
So we're like 30 minutes like north of like, you know, the airport and like where we ate. And I see them on a map. It's Hawaii. And I have a lot of trouble with the words. Like I cannot keep different words for things straight. I can't really tell. So I'm using my fingers. I'm going in and out. I'm like, oh my God. I zoom in. And they're at the place that we ate lunch, On the Rocks is the name of this place. And I'm like, oh my God, it must have been when I was going through my pocket or something. I must have like left them on the table. But like success number one, just right out of the gate, 4 days later, approximately 4 days later, it was able to tell me where my AirPods are. And why am I mentioning that? Well, certainly I use Find My constantly, mainly for like, you know, like, are my AirPods here or at the office? or you know what I mean? It's my wallet. I use a third party AirTag that's like a credit card you can put in your wallet and you know makes it puts it in the system. Any of that stuff. John, that headlamp I sent you, you know, I put one of those on my headlamp. Right? Because again, like, you know, if it's dark and you don't know where your headlamp is, it would be nice to be able to find it. And even if the power is off, it'll remember like the last place that it saw it, right? So I just want to say, number one, I was really impressed. It says your AirPods are at this little seafood place. That's pretty cool, right?
Find my working as designed. And, you know, I think you were helped by the fact that you're in Hawaii, where there is a higher than average likelihood that other people with Apple devices will be near it to.
Because that is how it works, right? It's like sending out a little. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, and technically you were near it with your Apple device before you left it. So at the very least, it has that.
And so it's remembering like whether or not it's communicated anonymously through other people's devices. It remembers that's the last place that it saw it because of mine, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
because
you were near it and then you weren't.
Anyway, I'll cut to the chase. And I was like, ah, crap. I'm in like, there's all kinds of things about this that suggest to me that that's exactly where I left them. Right. And my thought at that point is they're in the trash. Like if they're still there, they're in the trash. If they were somewhere else, if they were five blocks away, I might've thought somebody, you know, nicked them as they say in it, but they're at the last place they were seen is at that place. So first, I just want to say Apple, first of all, that worked. It's the first time I've ever actually like lost something valuable and not known where it is. And it knew where it was. But I was like, oh, crap. We don't really want to like stop by there. Like it kind of screws up our day, the day that we leave. And Madeline's like, aren't those expensive? I'm like, yeah, they're kind of expensive. I would like to have them, but like, I don't want to like screw up the whole trip. She's like, no, by all means, we'll drive right by there. Long story short, I said, you know what? I'm going to do this totally. I'm going to fly by wire on this whole thing. I'm not calling. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to see if I can fly by wire and discover where this thing is. I get out of the car and I go in on my own. I got my phone. I'm doing big lazy figure eights.
You're like the guy with the metal detector on the beach, but with a phone.
I'm a great deal like that guy. Found a wheat penny. And I got to say, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I know it looks stupid to do big figure eights with your phone, but it actually does help. And don't do it too fast. But if you change the three axes of your phone, it does seem to help a lot in finding things, especially, I have to say, like in the house. Do you discover that? Do you ever do the figure eights?
I have to say that I've never used my phone to locate something in the house in that way.
Roughly speaking, how many things are tracking on Find My for you? You don't buy air tags for things, right?
The most likely thing that I have that I need to locate in my house is in fact my phone. If I didn't remember where I put it, and then I just make it make a noise, and I find it.
Yep. Which could be a lot louder, as far as I'm concerned.
But anyway, that's why I'm not using my phone with the U1 chip thing, where it literally points you to where it is. I don't think
right, I've which ever works done that. Okay. It's not. I mean, I live in a pretty small house and it still takes a very long time to find it. But anyway, sorry, I'm dragging this out. I get there, I'm flying by wire. I'm saying, wouldn't it be cool? It would be a nice story for John Syracusa if I could use my telephone to go and find this on my own. And like I say, I don't know if you follow my logic on this, but the last place they were seen is there. So they're either there, which would be kind of weird, or they're absolutely not there. Right. I mean, that's my options. They wouldn't be like, you know, they're somewhere at this little restaurant. I've flown by wire. I'm trying to do the ultra wide, but it's not seeing it. When then, of course, like you click directions and it's more like, no. Don't throw me into maps and just say, here's how to drive to the place you're already at. So I go to the hostess stand and I politely wait. And then finally I say, hi, we were here on Monday. I really screwed up. I think I left my AirPods, you know, little white ones. I think I left those here. And the lady said, well, let me check lost and found. Now, every place I've worked, you got lost and found usually like right under the hostess area. But I guess this place is pretty smart. They have an office. This person goes up to there, walks back to me, holding my AirPods Max. So that's like
pretty amazing that nobody stole them.
That's pretty cool. But that's at least part two. I mean, like the knowing it's there at all, like that's, I know that seems like table stakes, but like there's all kinds of ways. I've had stuff happen with tile in the past where I was just like, I don't understand how this thing works at all. It's very erratic in how like reliable it is. But like, I was really, at that point, I was already like very, very impressed. And then the fact that they were there, she held them up and I saw her coming. I was smiling. I sent you a photograph. I saw her coming.
Michael Palin was there too. That's nice.
I think I look like a prospector. I was watching Deadwood last night and thinking like, man, I look like I'd be hanging out with Ellsworth at this point. And she brought him up and then I held up, I saw her coming. So I had the app right there. So I popped it up and she was about to say, she was smiling. She knew it was mine. And she was like, you know, how do we know this is yours? And I was like, whoop. And I hold up my phone and the arrow is pointing down at where her hand is. Mm-hmm. I declare, the last part of this, guess what? AirPods Pro fans, aren't you asking yourself, gosh, did it still have any charge? Was it on amber? No. Green light.
You could have made it make a noise if it's the one, if the case that makes a
noise. Well, I probably did, because at that point, you're just showing off, right? That's just like, that's the dunkathon where you get to use a trampoline at that point. Mm-hmm. And I gave her $20 and I said, thank you very much. You've completely made my day. I believe in humanity again. Anyway, that's her. She was really nice. I declare that an Apple success story.
That is pretty good, because think about this. In the before times, if you had an expensive electronic gadget with you on vacation and you couldn't find it, maybe you would have considered all the restaurants you might have left it at, but you're not going to go to all of them.
Well, and think about this. And the part that I leave it to the listener to infer, it had been at least 3 nights. So if you're talking about like leaving your Samsung phone somewhere 3 nights later, well, first of all, like, where do you begin? Because you're on vacation. Like, you've gone out to eat. You've gone to the National Park.
I feel like
you'd
be mostly searching, like, your hotel. Like, you think, oh, it's got to be in this room somewhere.
Well, certainly the easiest place to search. The light's better there.
That's what I'm saying. Especially if it was 3 days ago, you're like, did I leave it somewhere? It's like, no. If I had left it somewhere 3 days ago, I surely would have noticed before now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so it's got to be somewhere in this hotel. And then you're thinking, well, have I used it in the last 3 days? It would be a nightmare. You would basically just give up on it. But after turning the room upside down, you'd give up and say, well, it must be someplace other than here. And I have no idea where that might be.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to share that. I have no personal admonition regarding bitching about Apple stuff. So I think it's reasonable for me to say, like, when they've done good. Oh yeah, look at this. I took a photo of the YouTube thing on the screen of this terrible TV setup. Oof, Airbnb, boy. What a racket that is. I wanted to share
that. Is that a curved TV?
It's a curved TV.
Oh no.
Yeah. John, I wish we had time to talk about this. I can't even begin to tell you how many boxes and different kinds of cables are involved with this TV. Here's the very short version. I don't think I told you that. I might have told Alex this, but here's the thing. This TV, it looks like it's got all the mod cons, right? So it's got this stupid, I don't know how you feel about it, but like it's a probably 65-inch TV, and it's curved because it's by Samsung, and I guess that's fancy. I can't even begin to tell you how many boxes are involved in this place. There's at least, by my count, 3 different active plugged-in, lights-blinking boxes from their cable provider, which is escaping me right now, but it's one of those companies I don't really know the name of. Charter is Charter a thing?
It is.
Is that used to be a thing or is now? Anyway, point is, there's a box, and I can tell from the ports like what it's supposed to be. There's 3 different boxes. There's like what appears to be a router. There's what appears to be probably Wi-Fi. I'm not sure. They're usually the same thing, but there's a second box, and then over here there's a third box for cable TV. There's a big remote. There's a big Charter. The big main remote is a big ass Charter remote for doing all your cable TV stuff. And then a smaller, little, very modest, like extremely modest, nothing like a good Sony, that little Samsung for the TV. So many cables. There's HDMI running. I think they also had an appliance that I got right up to the level of creepy. I think it's something for people who host Airbnbs. I mean, I noticed, for example, there's like sensors on the doors and stuff. And I was trying to figure out why the air conditioning wouldn't work. And I wondered, you know, but they've got, I think there are these boxes you can get that help you like monitor what's happening at your property. There's that. And in back, oh my God, there's what your family might call an octopus. All of these things plugged in. Like there's so many outlets for so many things. And like, I just want to figure out like, how do I make the TV do the thing? And now I'm like my stepfather in 1981. I'm losing my goddamn mind.
They didn't have a little piece of paper next to the TV that said how to use our TV?
No. No. There's admonitions about all the things you're not supposed to do in their nice house before you spend an entire day cleaning it. But it took me a while to really figure it out. And you know what it really came down to? And I had brought along a modest selection of my own things. I always bring a thumb drive with a couple movies on it. And I had an iPad with a butt ton of movies. And as it happened, I had an HDMI cable and the things that I needed to keep that powered and turned on and all these things. John, not a single cable on the television was bringing in actual television. If you go in and you like probably break the terms of the terms and conditions, you go in and you like start connecting things to HDMI 1 and HDMI 2, you start doing all these different things. Their cable TV is deactivated. They don't have cable TV. You get a little really ugly screen that says you don't have cable anymore. If you want to have cable, call this number. That's what you get on two different things. So I'm back there and I'm like, huh, okay. Well, basically, all I want to get to, you know, like, for example, my Blu-ray player has better options than some of these things. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of, like, at least it has like, Netflix, maybe YouTube.
Well, this is a curved TV, so that dates it as fairly old because they just don't make those anymore because they're...
Is that right?
Idea. Yeah.
Well, firmware, I checked, the software had not been updated since 2010. That's a fun activity to do. After you turned off the motion smoothing, it's fun to go in and see the last time that they updated the... software.
Yeah, I don't think these curved TVs are still getting updates.
I don't mean to drag this out, but like, here's what it hilariously came down to. It was almost like a, what would you call it? Like an illusion, like running the hoop, you know, over the like levitating girl. I unplugged everything, every HDMI, and then tried the Samsung remote. And the Samsung remote for the Samsung TV, hey, guess what? It's one of those crappy TVs with those crappy little apps. Mostly fast TV. Like, here's this is the Bulgarian punching channel, like supported by, you know, ads for Geico. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you just all of this stuff. This is beyond sub cable. There's like little apps for like very weird niche services. But it also did have stuff like YouTube and Netflix. But did I mention that all of the cables were unplugged and there's no cable, even though that's the primary remote? Because here's the thing. They don't even have it connected to Ethernet. It's on Wi-Fi to stream to the Samsung TV. And the only way you can use that stuff is with this remote. And it took me like 3 hours to figure this out. And I'm relatively good at this stuff. Because why would I do that? Why would I go to a stranger's TV that presumably works? Why would I go to a stranger's TV and just start unplugging things? And then trying all the... And John, you know what I'm talking about. You got the menus. Think about the menus. There's a menu for the TV as a television. There's a menu for the TV's apps. There's different menus inside. There's menus and menus and menus. Everything seems to be copacetic. I can't figure out what's... I'm just saying it was a completely mental situation.
Have you ever do anything with house rentals or before the days of Airbnb, we just call them house rentals, but I guess now everyone calls them Airbnbs, whether or not they're through Airbnb. But anyway... one of the common phenomenons for our house rentals on Long Island during the summer is that we would go there and inevitably, and we would cook, we'd use their kitchen and cook big meals for the family. This is what my big extended family is there.
Yeah.
Their knives would be incredibly dull. So we would go to the store and buy a cheap set of knives just so we have sharp knives for the week that we're there. And we would leave the knives there because...
No, because everything in this place... Now, this was a slightly nicer place than a lot of places, but most rentals, like when we go to, with all due respect, when we go to Rhode Island and find a place in Warren or whatever, it's like punishment utensils. Everything in the place is like something you would give somebody in a very fancy prison.
Yeah, it's basically all the stuff. The stuff that's there is the stuff that nobody wanted to steal. It was so bad that nobody wanted to steal it. That's what's left.
Especially the knives. Rentals, right? The knives with the wooden handles and they've never been sharpened.
My version of this, and by the way, we've bought nonstick pans too. We go to these rentals, we would buy knives and nonstick pans and just leave them there because, you know,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
If you use the same rental next year, maybe you see the same stuff that you left there. You can see how dull and beat up it's got. But anyway. The thing that really annoys me about our current rental, actually, this is my parents' current rental, is they have the bigger rental, and we gather over there for the meals.
When you say that, that's the house that they rent every year, every summer?
Yeah, like we're in a separate house now because we outgrew a single house, but they're in the bigger house. And we go over there, and at the end of the day, I want to put on my little slideshow of all the photos I took during the day, and put the slideshow up on the big TV, right? And this place has a big TV that's up on the wall, and the TV is terrible. It is just, it is decades old.
So, but like, you got my back in terms of you're dealing with a very peculiar interface to do seemingly simple stuff.
Yeah, it's really old. It doesn't do AirPlay. I can get the picture on it because I bring enough equipment. I bring enough cables and stuff or whatever, but the photos, my beautiful photos, look so bad. And I've tried fixing all the settings to try to get it to be accurate, but the black levels are hideous. The color accuracy is terrible.
You try really hard to make those good.
They look good on the computer.
I know.
And then I put them up on this terrible TV, and every year I come, and every year I'm like, this is the year they're going to get a new TV. This TV is literal decades old. Like, they've just got it. And I swear, I've come close to saying, you know what, next time I'm there, I'm just going to go to Walmart, buy a TV,
yes,
take their current one
you
down.
You could buy a $400 TV that would be better.
And just hang, yeah, and just hang it on the wall and say, look, I fixed your TV by buying you a decent one.
No charge.
Right, I'm not going to throw the other one in the garbage. I'll put the other one in the garage.
I'm going to throw in the knives as a bonus.
Like, would they even notice? Would they come and they, would they say, oh, look, our TV looks nicer?
Well, that gets me to the Uber point, which is then we can quit. But like, my Uber point about this in my head, I know this makes me crazy. This is so much like, God, there's such great people at Apple, and I feel like such a saying this kind of thing, but like, I can't believe somebody who works on the Apple TV team puts up with Apple TV. And I know a lot of it's the apps. Like, Hulu is the worst. Hulu is just, it's constantly crashing. It's constantly logging everybody out. It's constantly freezing unless you quit it. You got to do the doot doot and the flip to like quit it. Like, but like, I always have this feeling like, it's so hard for me to believe that these incredibly gifted teams that make these products, it becomes implausible to me that the most of the people on those teams use their product as much as I do, right? Am I getting that point across?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a phrase I've used, I don't like to get too emotional about this, but I get emotional about this. Nobody loves this. Like, as in, like, first of all, well, nobody using it. Does anybody love that curvy Samsung TV? Mm-mm. Did the people who made it, And the South Korean geniuses who put that together, did they love it? Probably not. But at Apple, doesn't it feel like they should love it and be like the way that Steve would show you, forgive me for, you know, bringing him into the conversation, but like when he launched the iPhone, he's like, check it out. Look how cool that is. You flip and you're looking at the New York Times and you're going up and down and you're like, there's nothing approaching that on a variety of Apple things right now. The phone's great. That's all swell. But there's just a bunch of stuff. And I had that same feeling about this place that is nominally the home of a person that we're renting briefly, right? That's how Airbnb started, right? It was like, I'm not going to be here for a while. You can live in my house. Mm-hmm. If we follow that, and I know that that's at this point a completely crazy idea because they're basically freelance hotels, but I can't imagine anybody living in this place. I envy their amazing washer and dryer. I envy, like, I don't envy their cooktop. They've got one of those things like you've got that's just like, it made no sense to me. The dial has two highs. You know, you have one of these, right? You have one of those weird built-in.
I like my stuff.
But like a technology connections guy, you've got one of those, right?
Yeah. What's wrong with those?
All right. So here's the thing. It's a dial. It's a circle.
Yeah.
It's near the first position, which is 12. And you're going to turn it on. And so you turn it and you turn, you get to the bottom of what I'm accustomed to thinking of as medium. But that's like on. But then if you go beyond that, it kind of goes the other way. There's a knob that has the medium is not medium. The medium is on. And then both sides of the clock are on either side of the six. Both sides of the clock are meaningful. It's not just
that's not what I have. Mine rotates and it physically stops. So you can't rotate it all the way around. You can rotate it almost.
I thought it was based on technology connection. I thought it was going to be amazing to use. And I just have
numbers like 1 through 10 and 1 is the lowest and 10 is the highest. And it's a physical knob and it stops. And yeah, it's real easy.
Ours runs on charcoal from the Japans. But you know what, buddy? In that same way, I don't want to be a about it. Those people never had to live in this house. You know, like those judges who like to be creative and will do stuff like make the slumlord live in the place. Yeah. Like, and no, this is a nice place. We paid a lot of money and we did a really good job cleaning it because they were very clear about how to clean their house.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, but there were parts of it where I was like, I don't think anyone lives here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know we're living in this fiction, or at least maybe I'm living in this fiction, that Airbnb is a thing where you rent somebody's house and live there. But like, I'm not saying they have to be sentenced to live there, but the user experience of that is really uneven.
Well, did they have the set of cabinets that are closed with plastic zip ties?
No, they had some locked closets.
Yeah, that's how you can tell if they actually live there, is how many things are zip tied and or padlocked.
Yeah. Well, I tend to, based on some previous, and of course, I pen test. Oh, by the way, could you put that on the list? I think I've said that 4 times now. I'm penetration testing my vacation. And I do that. I try all the things. I almost tried, because I noticed they used the same code twice. They had a code for the alarm thing and a code for, there were 2 codes, and they used it twice. So I was very tempted to try, because that's probably the level of sophistication you're dealing with. I was very tempted to see if I could get into the closet. Because usually that's got cleaning supplies, but you never know. There might be treasure. What do you think? I think it's cleaning supplies mostly.
You're not supposed to go in the owner's closet. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I told you we stayed at, when we, one time in Rhode Island, we stayed, Grandma Steinis rented this beautiful house. We stayed at a couple times. And I told you this, right? That it was owned by the guy who was a shipwright that worked on movies.
Mm-hmm.
He had worked on Master and Commander. He'd worked on 2 or 3 different Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And it was really interesting. And of course, like, everything in this house was gorgeous. Like, the railing to go down into the unfinished basement was the most nicely sanded railing I've ever felt in my life. But that guy had tons of stuff that was locked. Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there were, like, parts of the basement you just, like, can't get into. Maybe it was a Russian bride, or it could be treasure, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, sex dungeon. You know, one of those things.
Well, I mean, you know, it's his sex dungeon. That's not included. They say that. Off limits,
beautiful,
they say.
Blind furniture.
It's got the nose ring. You're here to pick up my pine furniture. No, sir, we don't have your pine furniture. I said, well, Miss Gore, please go to speak to
you. You're messing up my favorite line, though. How can you not remember my favorite line?
Oh, which beautiful pine furniture. She's got the nose ring.
Yeah, you did it right the second time.
And
you
she's
said,
got the...
It, you said it's got the nose ring, as if the furniture had the nose ring.
No, this is the story. So I'm sitting there and failing to write a book. I have a very costly, this is also the location I used to sit when the guy asked me if I lived in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting by the bank, and I'm sitting there outside so I can smoke. I'm having a cigar. I'm incredibly stressed out. And that's when the guy comes out of the bar and he goes, do you mind if I sit with here? Says, would you hear for a minute and have a smoke? And that's how I met the beautiful pine furniture guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talked for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted his beautiful, back in Ireland, that was the nicest thing you could have. The nicest thing you could have in Ireland was beautiful pine furniture. And he goes to the place to pick it up, and there's a girl working there, and she's got the nose ring. And he never got his beautiful pine furniture, and he's still mad about it. He told me that while I was trying to write a book and smoke a cigar. He told me this entire story.
It's all the fault of the nose ring, and in fact, his story, that's why you didn't write your book.
Oh my God, this is suddenly adding up in a way I had not anticipated.
Yeah.
You think he's involved? Now, what about the guy with the dog who thought I lived in the woods? Do you think that's related?
Nah.
Do you think he was real? Do you think he might have been a ghost or something?
No, he's real.
He lived in the woods.
He was spectacular.
Talks kind of like Jasper. You live in the woods.
You do it. You say it.
You did it. You did it fine.
Thanks, man. I should write a book. Matt Howie's writing a book. I could write a book.
All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that is you, the Merlin Mann version of I drive better when I'm drunk, basically.
You and Roderick to see who can not write a book first.
Oh, doctor.
If you combine forces, you could not write one book together.
Hey, I've not written 2 books, so I got that going for me.
Hmm.
I didn't write a book for O'Reilly, too. Tim O'Reilly sent me a note with a shirt and a bunch of books.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Right. Yeah. Well, you know
I blame
what they
Danny
say.
O'Brien.
You know what they say, though.
They say measure twice, cut once.
It's the books you don't write.
Oh, I see. It's like jazz.